Love is revival, and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it?
I already said this to the worship team. I woke up this morning and I said, I'm alive. Like, praise the Lord. I got this day. I'm not going to waste this day, church. I'm alive. And I'm going to use this day to sing His praises, to worship the Lord. We got this day. We made it here. Can we just celebrate? You made it here this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Sing this together. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, and to know the saith the Lord, Jesus. to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy.
Up a little bit here. Actually, I'd invite you to take a seat. Do you have the white mic, Jesse? Oh, check. Dad, if you'd be willing, I'd just love for you to pray for us. It's always such a gift when you're here. And I love you. And would you just pray for us?
I can hold it. Hallelujah. You are the mighty God, the Father who made all things. Nothing exists without you, O God. We thank you, dear Lord, that you chose us to be here, that every member here in this body has been presented to you from us. We give you our glory.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you've given us life. Now, Lord, we ask for your mighty blessing to flow into the hearts of people that they might know you, that there's not one person here that will not know you as their Savior and lover. Thank you for this. We bless this church. We know that you're going to expand it. We know that you're going to encourage it. And we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, in your name.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jess.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah is right. Praise the Lord. Would you stand again? We want to sing some songs. And I was just so moved because the next couple of songs, they're really songs that are all about being with the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And it seems in Christianity, there's plenty of people that know about the Lord or maybe have read the books about the Lord. But I just wonder how many of us are comfortable in actually knowing the Lord, spending time with Jesus. And again, what I love about my father is every morning he spends time in the Word and he journals, he writes and writes and writes. And then he climbs into bed with my mom and he reads to her what the Lord has spoken to him. And he's shown me in such a powerful way what it means to know the Lord, to want to be in the presence of God. Do you want to be in the presence of the Lord? And I just want to encourage us as we sing these songs that the Lord is here. And so as you kind of enter in, and some of us, you know, we're learning, we're still growing on what it even means to worship the Lord and be in His presence. But I'd encourage you as you're standing, if you want to come kneel before the Lord, you can do that. Even if maybe you need prayer from the person next to you, you can ask them for prayer. But let's make this a safe place for us to practice sitting well in the presence of God, where we say, Jesus, I love you. church, that there's nothing like the presence of God. Do we hunger and thirst for that precious time with our Maker that's been bought for with the blood of Jesus? Come on, He made a way where there seemed to be no way. The righteous King made a way for us to spend time with our Maker forever and ever. Amen. Do you want Him today? Do you desire Him today? Do you desire His presence today? Because Jesus made a way. He made a way. You know the story. He went up to heaven. He asked His Father to send the Holy Spirit to dwell with us forever. Come on, right now. He is with you. He is good. He is loving. And He is holy. Let's sing it out like we mean it. Singing holy. I think some of us are just learning in this moment, right? The Lord is gracious and patient with us. But I just feel like there might be one or two of you in this room that you're like, I know what it's like to sit with Jesus. And right now I'm having the time of my life with Jesus. If that's you, would you be so brave enough to shout out your praise and your love to the Lord, to encourage and teach the rest of us what this might look like or sound like? There's none like you, right? There's no one like our Lord. I also heard someone say, God, you have done great things. Do you believe that this morning? Sing this together.
Enthroned in glory, my Savior King. Your loving kindness has welcomed me. Though I'm unworthy of majesty, you wrap the lowly in royalty, and I will lay my crown down at your feet. You are holy, you're holy, and I will give my life as an offering. You are worthy, so worthy, Lord. Oh, oh.
Here at your altar,
here at your altar, to seek your face, broken and poured out without restraint, in full abandon before my King. Here I surrender my every, oh, we surrender.
Yeah. want to be where you are, Lord. I don't want to spend another day trying to figure out my plans or my will. If you made me, then you do what you want to do with me. Because I trust you, Jesus. If you made me, then I figure you have a plan for me. You have intentionality in the way you made me. I just think some of us need to hear that. He doesn't make junk. He's not made a mistake. He knew what he was doing when he fashioned and formed you in your mother's womb. And he delights over you this morning. He sings over you with joy. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Let's just close by singing our love song to Jesus. And I just want to be where you are. And I just want to be near your heart. There's nothing. And there is nothing like your love, Jesus. And there is nothing like your love. Pour our hearts out to the Lord this morning. And I just want to be where you are. And I just want to be near your heart. Have your way, Lord. And there is nothing like your love. There is nothing like your love.
Of that last song we sang, it says, I can't get enough of your amazing love. Jesus, I can't get enough. And church, would you be reminded today of the magnitude and the depth of his love for each and every one of you. Each and every one of you. Those of you tuned in online, I say he's not limited by this distance and space often, even right where you are. You know, in that song, it continues to say, I can't walk away, for I've seen your face. Church, his presence changes everything. Have you ever spent some time in his presence? In his presence, everything is made new. Every doubt, every fear, obsolete in his presence. Or even when you have doubts and fear, you can bring those things to him in his presence. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, for in his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. May we never get enough of seeking his presence. May we never get enough of worshiping him, of spending time at his feet. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, for who you are, for what you've done on the cross for us, God. But we thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. We thank you that we can commune with you today, Lord. And may each of us contend to spend time in your presence, God. That we will be encouraged by your Spirit. That we will be transformed. That we will be changed, God. May we truly offer up our lives as a living sacrifice unto you, God. As a living sacrifice, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the many ways in which you're working in and through us, God. Continue to do your good work in us, God. As we continue to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I need you here. I need you in this area. I lay it all down before you, God. Church, would you just do that again? Would you just lay down your life before Him again? Even now in this time, that it's just you and your Father. It's just you and Him. Delight in His presence even now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. In your mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Church, would you give our worship team a round of applause? Thank you guys for leading us in worship. But also thank each and every one of you for engaging in worship. I loved when Pastor Dan said to just one or two of you lift your voices, and so many of you just joined in. I love it. Oh, so amazing. And we'll continue our worship here this morning. Do we have any little kids in the house today? And so if you're visiting with us today, I want to welcome you, but also we love to pray for our kids. And so I'm going to ask our kids to stand right where they are. And it looks like you have Kent Ross and Pastor Laura is over there today. And so if we could stretch out our hands over these ones. Father, we know that you also minister to our kids, God. Your presence is not just for us as adults, or it's not just in this time of worship, God, but your presence, your Holy Spirit ministers to them, Lord. And so as they go into their classes, God, I pray, Lord, that as they go with your presence, Lord, may they experience you in new and profound and mighty ways even today. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Could we give them a round of applause, please? And again, I have some announcements here for you this morning. Again, if you're visiting with us this morning, I want to welcome you to LifeSpring. Thank you for being here. Those of you who are joining us online, wherever you may be joining us from, I want to welcome you. Thank you for tuning in today. And the first announcement I have for you is that our spring quarter of next level classes are kicking off next week, Sunday. All right? Yes, you should be like, woo, that's amazing. It is amazing. You know, if you've ever done a next level class here at LifeSpring, I know that you will be encouraged in your faith with the Lord, but also with the people who you take that class with. And this spring quarter, we'll be having three. I believe Pete Wilmot will be teaching a new members class. These classes will run for 2 weeks this time around. We have another class called The Pursuit of Purpose, and that will be led by Pastor Laura. And then Pastor Dan will be teaching another class there. It's called Adventures in Parenting, and he'll be doing that. Pastor Dan and Mary, they will be teaching that class. And so I encourage you to visit our website, get signed up online. We'd love to see you here. Again, that starts next week, Sunday evening, right here at the church. Sorry, repeat that. Yes, that is on here, but I didn't see. Thank you. I missed that. Kent, we love you. We're doing Walking Through Hosea as well. Yes, that is right. Thank you so much. And then this next announcement here, I don't know. I guess I want to invite you to the potluck that you guys are having for us this evening. I guess that's the best way I can make this announcement. And so if you are, yeah, you guys are having a potluck for us. We are showing up, and it would be really awkward if we showed up and there was no food here. So that also means that you guys have to be here and bring some food. We look forward to seeing you. We want to hang out with you. Both Debbie and I will be here. That is at 6 p.m. this evening. So we look forward to seeing you then this evening. And then there's a women's breakfast and clothing exchange coming up on May the 4th, and it's being held under the theme, All Things Made New. And it's going to be a breakfast and a clothing exchange event. And so it says here, bring your gently used clothing to exchange and enjoy a delicious breakfast while hearing from a panel of women sharing stories of God's transformative power. And you need to RSVP by April 30th to secure your spot for this event. And if it goes like how it's gone in the past, these events fill up very fast. So like, you don't want to wait. You want to hop on your phone even now and probably get signed up. And so there's no cost to attend. So just mark it on your calendars and be here. It's going to be amazing. And at this time, I'd love to call up Ashley, who is our children's director. And she'll be telling us a little bit more about Impact Camps.
Yeah, Impact Camps. Who's excited for Impact Camp this summer? Who has no idea what Impact Camp is? Okay, a few of you. Awesome. Okay, so every summer we get to send our kids and our youth to summer camp with our district. And what that means is that there's a bunch of Foursquare churches in the area, and we all send our kids to camp together, and we all go as leaders together. And it's an amazing time for our kids and our youth to experience Jesus, to experience the Holy Spirit. But it's also an opportunity for us to get to partner with other Foursquare churches in the area. And I've built so many friendships over the years of like partnering with other churches, and like, it's amazing. So anyways, I wanted to give you the dates for those, and then we have a quick promo video for it. Kids Camp, which is for kids going into 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, is July 29th to August 1st. That's a Monday through Thursday. And then Middle School Camp, which is for kids going into 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, is August 1st to the 5th, and that's a Thursday to Monday. And then high school camp, which is for kids going into 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, that is August 5th to the 9th. So those are the dates for that. You can sign up now. It's already, like, registration is already open. If you have any questions about it, you can come talk to me. You can come talk to Braden, and we can help you get registered. You guys can sign up as leaders if you would like to go as a cabin leader. Come talk to us. Like, we would love to have you guys serving with our kids and our youth. We always need cabin leaders. And there are other roles at camp as well. So come talk to us if you're interested in volunteering. But if you have a child that's going into 4th through 12th grade, get them registered now. The price goes up, I believe, on June 1st. Yeah, I think so, yes. So get them registered before then. But I heard high school camp is already filling up. So if you have a high schooler, you want to get them registered now. So let's watch the promo video.
That's going to be amazing. You get your kids signed up for that. You know, I've served at camp the last 3 years, and I'll be serving again this year. And it's always a great time seeing the next generation empowered, but also in many ways they're empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk into what the Lord is calling them into. So get your kids signed up. And then at this time, I'm going to ask you, if you're able to just stand right where you are, maybe like shake off some of that sitting down that you've been doing. But we'll be doing our meet and greet here. And so it's a time for you to go across from this side to the next side to the next side and greet each other. I love hearing and seeing you guys greeting and loving on each other. At this time, we'll continue our worship with our tithes and offering. And amen. Yes, hallelujah, as Melanie says. If you're joining us for the first time here today, please don't feel obligated to give at this time. We want our service to be of blessing to you. And there are four ways to give. Those are up on the screen. You can give in the baskets here. Our ushers are up front. You can mail that in. You can text in. Or you can give online. And so let us pray over our tithes and offerings. Lord, we thank you, God. I thank you that we have a congregation that continues to give above and beyond, Lord. They're faithful in their lives to what you've called them to, Lord. And as we continue to sow into the ministry here, Lord, the funds that are sowed here, God, they serve the community, but they also go beyond the borders of this state, across the U.S., but even across the world, Lord. And so may it continue to accomplish its good work as your people are faithful to give towards your service, God. In your name we pray, amen and amen. And so the ushers, you guys can go ahead and pass around those baskets. At this time, I have the great honor of introducing to you someone who has spoken at LifeSpring before, someone who actually they've been so gracious to allow us to use this space in the morning. Pastor Joe Bowman, if you could give him a LifeSpring round of applause as he makes his way up here. Thank you guys so much for how you continue to love and serve LifeSpring, how you continue to partner with us in so many ways. And we look forward to, I've heard many of the amazing things that the Lord has been doing at Integrity Life Church. And as Pastor Dan has been hearing some of those stories as well, we are like, well, let's get Pastor Bowman in here because he has a word for us from the Lord today. And we look forward to how he speaks and works through you today. Thank you for being here.
Let's give God that glory. Let's clap for him because he's the one. Man, for some reason, this place just feels so familiar. I don't know. I feel like I've been here before. In a lifetime, you only get a friend like Dan Bursch. You only get one of those. And I'm so honored that you're my friend and my brother. I spent more summers in Hawaii, but man, I'm just so grateful to have you as a brother and as a friend. You and Mary, my sister, and the kids just appreciate who you are to me. And pastors don't have an opportunity to stand up here and, you know, say that there's days that we want to quit and there's days that get hard. And then here comes Pastor Dan around the corner. What's up, brother? I'm like, Dan, just go back to your office, man. I'm not in the mood. Then I go to my office, sit there, and I say, dang, man, he's so inspirational. So thank you for who you are to me. There is such a presence of the Lord in this room, even from the worship. If anybody in here needs healing, just want you to reach your hands to heaven right now. It's not in the notes, but just follow the leading of the Spirit. When his presence is so affirmed, when we as his people speak to his presence, then he responds to us with his perfection. Because when we say Abba Father, when we lift our hands, we're speaking out of our imperfection, but there's an exchange. Because when I say I need you, he knows all the parts that I need. And he has all the parts that I need to fulfill in me. Every part that's broken and needs mending in me, he already has that in perfection. And so when I lift it up, this is why we encourage you to praise, because what we say is, I'm lifting up my soul to you, and Lord, I'm giving you the TSA rights to search me. And as he searches us, then he fixes not the things that are symptomatic, but the things that need repair. So I pray now in the name of Jesus that your power be on every hand that's raised, And I pray that you would fix everything that needs fixing, that you would mend everything that needs mending. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, Life Spring. Those watching online, we just appreciate you as well. I want to thank Pastor Felicia Dawson from Integrity being with us today. And I know you're saying, I don't know how in the world Pastor Dan pulled off having Jay-Z preach this morning. The guy is awesome. I just don't know how he pulled it off. It's really actually JB, not Jay-Z. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. Want to talk to you today about something. I told Pastor Dan, I said, for whatever reason, things get a little weighty when you ask me to come and speak for LifeSpring, and I hope they'll still love me through what I'm going to share today. But I want to thank you. I want to encourage you today in love, but challenge you a little bit as well. I feel like we're in a dispensation of time that is calling for us to be the light, illuminated so bright that maybe we don't blind others, but we do make them at least hold up their hands to say, man, the light is shining brightly. And there's two options, either that they can deflect the light or they can walk towards it. But I think we have to be unapologetic in this time to say who we are. If we're Christians, then we have to be Christ-like, not just badged with the idea of walking through the concepts and the precepts of Christianity. We have to be the example and the light in the world. Now, here's the deal. We don't get the glory. God does. Let your light so shine that, help me, that men may see your good works, but glorify your Father, right? So the glory will go to God, not to us, but we have to shine the light. And God is calling us to do so. I want to talk to you today a little bit about keeping a vow. Keeping your vow. Keeping your commitment, your oath. How many people are married in here? How many marriages do we have? Who did that? You got good dinner prepared for him tonight, huh? I love it. I've been married to a chocolate caramel macchiato. She's 27 years this year. Go ahead and put her up on the screen. She's the cutest of the bunch with her pearls on. And she's given me four beautiful babies. And on June 28th, 1997, I stood at a church located at 221 Hardy Avenue. I remember the address, man. It was a good day. And I made vows to her. I made vows. And I said stuff like this: for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. 27 years ago. The part we didn't put in there was, I commit to beer bellies and man girdles. I commit to, man, you better pause. There's so many things in our commitment that we say, but there's so much more that's required in our commitment. And in the midst of a wonderful time and renting tuxedos and catered food and all of those things, see, most of us fall in love with the idea of a wedding, but we're not willing to stay connected for a marriage. See, the wedding is the day, the marriage is the covenant. And whatever that applies to in your life, let it apply. But often we can show up for the ceremony, we can show up for the potluck. But how can we show up relationally over time? And I want you to see that God uses people who keep their commitments. Kind of a different sermon, huh? Yeah, I know. Here we go. Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Here we go, Steve. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a valiant warrior, but he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead was the father of Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore him sons, and when his wife's sons grew up and drove Jephthah out and said to him, you shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman. So Jephthah fled to his brothers, from his brothers rather, and lived in the land of Tob. And worthless fellows gathered themselves about Jephthah, and they went out with him. And it came about after a while that the sons of Ammon fought against Israel. And when the sons of Ammon fought against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to Jephthah from the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, come out and be our chief that we might fight against the sons of Ammon. Then Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and drive me from my father's house? So why now would you have come to me when you're in trouble? The elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, for this reason, we have now returned to you that you may go with us and fight the sons of Ammon and become head over all inhabitants of Gilead. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you take me back to fight against the sons of Ammon and the Lord gives them up to me, will I become your head? The elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord is my witness between us, surely we will do as you have said. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and chief over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord at Mizpah. God, your word is already blessed, but today I stand here asking you to step in me, sit me down, and you stand up and deliver your word to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many of us are resilient? How many of us resound greatness? But at the end of the day, there's something in our past or there's something connected to us that seemingly disqualifies us. See, the reality is Jephthah was told by the people in his community that he didn't have an inheritance or he didn't belong because his mother was a harlot. He had a different mother. And so in God's eyes, we're still qualified, but oftentimes we walk around like God hasn't qualified us in spite of our circumstance in the beginning. Many of us are walking around with shame and defeat in our souls because we have not lent ourselves to the idea that God is greater in us than anything that is going to oppose us. It's important that we know that if God called us, then he qualified us. If God called us forward, then I don't care who says what. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what you've done in the times past. When God redeemed you or regenerated you, he gave you the opportunity to be great in him. But if we lean to the perils of this world and the things that people have said over us and the things that have happened to us, he wasn't in control of who his mother was or who his father was. He came forth in birth. He beat 2 million other opportunities, and he came forward, and we have to lean on the fact that God birthed him out. But he landed on the fact that he was the son of a harlot. And guess what? So did others. And I don't know what your past is. I don't know what your history is. I don't know where you come from. But I want you to say I want to say this to you. There's nothing wrong with you. I want you to reflect on Psalm 139:14. I want you to understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are custom made. He has made you the way he has made you. And I want you to go in the mirror and say, I am beautiful. I am handsome. Whatever you need to say to yourself, just know that if you don't like what God has made, then you need to talk to God about it. I feel like God is saying, hey, if you don't like you, then that's your problem because I love you. I am so in love with you. I'm so in love with you. I sent my only begotten son to come and die for your sins. I sent him down to be America's first crime scene investigator, to figure out what happened so that he could exchange the evidence that you were absolutely guilty and only deserved the death, hell, and the grave. And in exchange for that, I gave my son for you to be set free. What is wrong with you? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with you. Well, I wish I could fix my nose, or I wish I could get a little bit of this or a little bit of that. Yeah, we all do. Since COVID, it was COVID-19, but it was like 19 pounds, too, that came with it for me. I don't know. I just haven't been able to get rid of that anointing from COVID. But there's always things we want to fix, and there's always things that we want to make adjustments on, but I'm here to tell you, I don't know why I feel this so strong. Tell yourself, there's nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong with me. Well, Jephthah happens to be the 9th judge of Israel. He ruled for 6 years. And he was called forward not because of his pedigree or his lineage, his nomenclature, he was called forward because he had an aptitude to fight. But I want you to look back at verse 3, just real quick. Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob, 15 miles southeast. And worthless fellows gathered themselves at Jephthah, and they went with him. I have a question for you. Who do you gather in your moments of rejection? When you feel rejected, when you feel ostracized and pushed out, who do you gather? What kind of people start calling you and hanging out with you? Are there people that can build you up? Are there people that can build you up? Are there people that tear you down? Are there people that edify you? Are there people with this kindred spirit that says, yeah, man, I told you anyway, it wasn't going to work? What kind of people do you hang out with when you feel the rejection? He went all the way from Edgewood and he got a hotel in Renton, Washington, 15 miles the other way. And people start gathering around him, knocking on his door and say, hey, bro, I'm just like you. I feel rejected. Let's hook up. And sometimes we connect with people in the spirit of our problems and not in the spirit of our praise. Sometimes there's a connection because we're disconnected in the negative, not in the edification of the spirit. Yes. And we got to watch the people who want to link up with us and cling that cling to us in those different seasons. I want to ask you, who is following you in your moments of rejection, in your moments of entitlement? Who's following you? Who's calling you? Because Jephthah walked away with the false sense of being rejected. But let's be real. Whoever says to us that we're not acceptable, we listen to that word more than the people who say they love us. Just be honest. All it takes for us to produce one YouTube video and 8,000 people say how cool it was, and that one person that doesn't even list their name on the video says it was terrible, and we walk away with it was terrible. Why is it that? Why is that? The reason why that is because deep down in our hearts, deep down in our soul, there's something that is missing. There's something that's insecure. There's something that's broken. And I'm here to address that today. If God has called you, you're chosen, you're selected. Verse 6 and 7 says they called Jephthah because he was a fighter. And my question is, are you recognized for your faith or are you recognized for your fight? Do people know you as a fighter or as a faith person? He was only called forward when they needed him. And in the moments of being called forward from the people we seek affirmation from, we have to be careful that we don't lend ourselves to the affirmation more than God affirming us more than people. Am I helping anybody today? I wanted to preach Philippians 4:13, I promise you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I wanted to give you a Holy Ghost Pentecostal, oh yeah, right? But God kept leaning on me to say, make sure you let LifeSpring know that I've selected them, I've chosen them. That you are not illegitimate, that you are a great people, that you will one day walk into your own building, that you will have the grace, that Pastor Dan will continue leading this church, that Pastor Jesse's transition will not break the church, but he will be edified and the church will be edified, that all of the things that seemingly are pulling away from your identity, God's called you. Don't forget that. Here we go. Are you known for your fighting or are you known for your faith? How many of you back in the day before God saved you used to beat people up? Don't raise your hand. You're not past the statute of limitations yet. But you were tough, right? People knew if they called you that you could show up and take care of things. And I'm wondering how many of us have lent ourselves just to fighting other people's battles over letting God build faith in us. We're to fight the good fight of faith. But we are, listen, 1 Timothy 6:12-13. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and for which you were made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I direct you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who testifies of the good confession before Pontius Pilate. In other words, listen, we fight the good fight of faith through our confession. And our confession is that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are bought with the price, that we are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and God has selected us for a time such as this. So do we fight to prove who we are, or do we fight to make the confession that God has done it in us? That one. What is the contention in our heart? What is the thing that keeps battling in us, that makes us want to fend for ourselves, that makes us want to fight others and make sure they know who we are? Sometimes we want to be associated with something just for the association's sake, not because we understand our value. And it's time for us, saints of God, to understand that Jesus is no slouch. God is the creator of the earth, and he's creator of the world. He created everything, and he called everything into existence, and that's the God who birthed you. Why do you keep saying this? Because I need to remind you more and more and more, because every commercial that comes on is a person that's super fit. Everything that comes on TV, everything that comes to your thread is somebody getting rich. Everything. So it always makes us feel like we're incompetent or like we're insufficient. And I want to remind you that in Christ you will gain eternal life. If nothing else happens for you, at the end of the day, when you close your eyes and rest, you will see Jesus' face in peace and forever live with him in the eternal palace with streets made of gold. And you will walk in that kind of destiny. But the promise is we'll have that in this life and the life to come. So where's your gauge on contentment? What's your level on contentment? Are you trying to keep up with the Joneses who are already broke anyway? Trust me, the Joneses are broke. I promise you they are. I promise you. Two home equity loans and everything else, right? Here's what I'm saying. Is contentment watching other people? Or are you contented with, I have a place to stay. I have cars to drive. My children are healthy. My marriage is intact. I have food in the refrigerator and freezer. What are you striving for? What are we pushing for? Societal norms are pushing us to break down. Push, 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 push. Can't even watch a YouTube video without a commercial in between saying, you want to make $150,000 today? You want to lose 80 pounds tomorrow? There is this push on us that is causing us to break down. And we can't get to the holy because we're halted by what's contemporary, by what's trending. I wish Jesus was trending more. No, not just the idea of Christianity. And I don't really even, don't kick me out. I'm only halfway through. Don't kick me out. But I don't really say I'm a Christian anymore. I say I'm a follower of Christ. Because everybody's a Christian. Not living nothing. Christian. Okay. Well, I'm following Christ, bro. I'm a Christ follower. Because I understand that that will give me more grace than I could ever afford on my own. What is your position? Jephtha was rejected. He was pushed out. Bro, you're not like us. Your mama's that other kind. You're not good enough. You see how you look? You look different than us. Oh, but bro, you can fight. Oh, cool. We need some help now. And what is the first thing that Jephtha asked? Hey, guys, if I go over here and fight, which I know I can do, you're going to make me head over this? I'm going to be in charge, right? And I believe all he's asking is, hey, guys, if I go over here and fight like I know I can do, I'm going to be accepted, right? I'm going to be one of the sons, right? You're going to let me back into the graces of being a son. And all I want to ask you is, who told you that you're not a son? Who told you you're not a daughter? And if they did tell you that, are they legitimately people who have voice and clarity in your life? Who are you listening to? so many people come through these churches, come to the altar, not knowing who God has made them to be, not knowing how much God loves them. Did you remember the time when you were in that situation and you were like, that was so stupid and that was so crazy, I don't even want to tell anybody what I was doing and what I was saying? And you look back over your life now and you can see the handiwork of God in your life. And you can see how he pulled you out of that muck and mire and that mess. Some folks were addicted to drugs and some folks were... You see how God just pulled you out of that. And over time, through a lot of pain and tears, that he brought you through the graces. And even when the doctor said that you were going to die and you still are alive today, God has... He's got his hand on you. And we forget... Because we're so inspired by the next thing that we can grab that we forget how much God has already done in us. Well, how does that compare to what you're preaching about? It compares because when you are summoned by someone who sees the gift in you, I don't want you to go in the name of the gift. I want you to go in the name of God. Somebody's going to see the greatness in you. But if you don't understand the greatness in you, then you won't be able to manage, because you will be great for a day, but without God, you won't be great for a long time. You will need the grace of God to sustain you in your greatness. How in the world does God call a little boy born in Bellingham to a parent that was a professor at Western Washington University and another parent who came up to become a teacher? That's me, Joseph Bowman IV. All the way from Bethlehem. Moved back to Seattle. Parents divorced. Went to live with grandma. Didn't know that was going to be the time. She pastored 50 years in Tacoma. Didn't know that was my moment of being like Samuel in the house of the priest. Didn't know that. Didn't know I was going to have a passion for Federal Way. But she planted a church in Federal Way 35 years ago on the same street, just on the other side of the road. That church didn't continue, but she always said, God promised me a holiness church in Federal Way. And look at this. We got white chocolate in the morning and we got dark chocolate in the afternoon. You're pinning one part of it. You're pinning one chapter, but you're not considering the entire book that God has written on your behalf. He's put you in position to do something great in you for a lifetime, not just for a season. Why is he hollering? He's Pentecostal. That's all. It's Pentecostal. You are in the bigger picture of things. Oh, my God. If I could, I wish I could really, really communicate this like I want to. God's plan for you is so connected to where you are in this moment. But please do not throw this chapter away in your book. Please make sure you understand that you should reach from your glory place, not from your insecurities. Man. Let's look at Judges 11, 31, 30 and 31. And this is what is so painful about this man. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. Who did he make the vow to? And said, if you will indeed hand over to me the sons of Ammon, then whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return safely from the sons of Ammon, it shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. When I come home from the victory, whatever walks through the door first, I'll give to you. Wait just a second. Did God ask him to do that? God had already anointed him. He'd already given his grace. He'd already given everything he needed. Why are we making vows out of our vulnerability, separate from making vows out of our victories? Can I tell you, this hit me deep in the chest, because I understand, like, I've said so many things over the years that I wanted to say yes to people and help people, and I wanted them to know that I loved them, and I said yes to vows that I didn't keep. Why? Because I want them to know that I appreciate and I love them, but I didn't understand that I was hurting them further by saying yes to something I knew I couldn't do. So what did Jephthah do? God, when I get this victory, whatever comes to the door first, Man, that's yours. Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Just 1 second. You don't have to do something special for God when God's already doing something special in you. He's already doing something special in you. He's already working in you. Why are you making vows and commitments that you can't keep when God just wants to use you and just wants to be loved by you? All he wants us to do is worship him, and he wants us to love him. We don't have to make these vows that we can't keep. So what happens? His daughter, his one and only child, comes to the door playing a tambourine, and he has to keep his vow and commitment to God. He had to kill his daughter. And can I say this and get invited back? We're killing our children on things that we shouldn't be committing to. We're making vows that we can't keep. We have to be careful. We have to be so careful. I know the sermon's only for about 3 people in here. I get it. But what I want to say is, if we can't keep the vow to God, then we shouldn't keep the vow to others. In conjunction with that, I want to say this. Stop making crazy vows that aren't required of you. It's your own insecurity. It's your own inadequacy that makes you feel like you have to be the savior of the world. I tell my wife all the time, our kids are teenagers and they're driving. Please pray for me. Please, please pray for me. Please pray for the insurance. Jesus. And one day she was over there, I said, baby, you're trying to control the universe, aren't you? I said, these are miracle children. We couldn't have kids for 10 years. Many of you have heard our testimony. And one day, Palm Sunday, 2007, we got pregnant. Well, we didn't know that baby was going to be born at 24 weeks and spend 105 days in the neonatal intensive care unit. We didn't know that. If you go back to the picture of the family, I just want you to pick out which one you think he is. Because when God, that kid was 19 ounces in the white shirt when he was born. And I just want to let you know is when God does things, he does things perfectly well. Amen. But only thing he needs us to bow to is him, yeah. Not things. Yeah. Can I tell you something? Pastor Dan will fix this next week. He doesn't really even need us to vow to people unless he accepts the vow that he asks us to push forward in. What do you mean accepts? Unless he gives us instructions to vow, we shouldn't do it. Well, Joe, great sermon, bro, but I keep all my vows. Well, God bless you. Pray for me. Pray for me. Because wanting to be loved and accepted, sometimes you say yes when you should say no. Sometimes an absolute no is a beautiful yes. Sometimes wisdom actually doesn't have words. It speaks in silence. I want you to let your yes be yes and your no be no. This is a very pastoral message. Pastor Dan is my friend, and I hope he invites me back. But I'll tell you, whoever this is for, I'm going on a ledge for you. Because I feel like if you keep saying yes, you're headed for self-destruction. You're going to have to say no and catch up. I don't want you to be like Jephthah. Mightily use the God with a gift. And in his gifting, having to give up the most precious thing in his life because of a vow he made. Pastor, how does that apply to the New Testament? Okay, that's Old Testament scripture. I got you. I hear you. Let's go to Matthew 5:33 through 37. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, take no oath at all, neither by heaven, for it is the throne of God, nor by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you take an oath by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. But make your statements, yes, yes, no, no, Anything beyond that is of evil origin. It's okay to say no. It's absolutely okay to say yes. But we should never make a vow or commitment of any substance without consulting the Lord. We have to ask him, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Do I doubt that you're used of God? No doubt at all. Do I doubt that he has an anointing on your life? No doubt at all. Do I understand that Satan will wear us down by our commitments? I absolutely understand that. The evil one will beat us to death by overcommitting. He will. He will. So I close with this for the first time. How many of you in here will say, Pastor, I don't want to be like Jephthah. I want to be used without conditions. Conditions that I place on myself, not that others have placed on me. Open the eyes of my heart and let me see the conditions I placed on myself. And help me to release and be freed from the ideas of nervous breakdowns and pushing too hard and doing too much and possibly not fulfilling the greatest destiny that you have in my life. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Because I had to pray for me. Because when you grow up without a dad in the house and your kids, you're raising kids, you don't want them to feel the same pain. So you try to do everything you can to make up the difference. And the Lord had to share with me, hey, bro, those are my kids, not yours. They're yours, but they're mine first. So there's some things in their life that they're going to have to just seek me out for. And as great as the dad you are, the scripture says that you're evil as a dad. In comparison to the idea that if we as natural fathers love our kids so much, how much more does our Heavenly Father love us? So I want to pray for anybody who says, I'm in the red zone on my commitments. And it's not to embarrass you or to shame you, but I want you to come to the altar for prayer. And this is the reason why, because I believe that every step you take out your seat to the front will be your commitment. It will be your contract that you will give him the glory with your life. Is there one? Is there one? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes.
You are worthy, God. You are holy, Lord. We thank you for the message that was brought forth today, God. And Lord, I just pray for each and every one in here, Father. Maybe the labels that people have put on us, the false identities that we have maybe unknowingly or knowingly taken on, God. Armors that we are trying to wear that is not for us, God. Lord, we lay all those things down again at your feet, God. We lay ourselves down again at your feet, God. Seeing that we want to walk in who we are in you, God. We want to walk in who you say we are. What you say about us, Lord. And even if it takes us memorizing scripture that reminds us of how you see us and who you say we are in you, God, may we do those things, Father. Continue to do your work in us, God. Continue to form us in your likeness, that we would be obedient to that which you've called us to. Not that man has put on us, Lord, but that which you've called us to and called us into. We thank you for your sweet presence in here, God. We thank you for the ways you've ministered to us, and that you will continue to minister to us even as we leave from here. In your mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Joe, thank you so much for being here with us this morning. Thank you so much for allowing the Lord to work through you and minister through you. And, you know, just before I get into my final announcements here, as he's poured out of himself this morning, we want to appreciate him, and we want to do that this morning by taking up a love offering for him and his family. And so I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward. And as the Lord leads you this morning, would you give, and whatever you give in this moment, again, we know that you are a people who continue to give above and beyond. And whatever you give, it's unto the Lord. It's between you and the Lord, but it's also giving to his servant who is poured out this morning. So would we bless him? Ushers, you can start passing out those baskets. And at this time, I'll just ask you to stand, if you're able to, right where you are as we get ready to close. I want to remind you to join us back here this evening for the potluck that you guys are having for us. If you have any questions about that, please see Pastor Laura.
I have decided every time we send someone out from now on, they will have to announce their own potluck. This is a new rule.
I love it. Yes. So we look forward to seeing you here this evening. If you have any questions about that, please see Pastor Laura. She will be able to give you more information about that. If you need prayer this morning, I know many of you came down to the altar, but if you need further ministry or prayer team here to my right, your left, is willing and available to pray with you and minister to you. Please don't leave here this morning if you do need prayer. And if you're visiting with us this morning, again, thank you for being here today. I invite you to stop by our welcome center here that's off to my left, your right. We have a free gift there for you, but we also just want to learn your name and hug you and say it's good to have you here with us. And those of you who tuned in online, again, thank you for joining us this morning. Would you say this with me? Our benediction comes from Ephesians 3:20 and 21. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all you ask or imagine, according to his power is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Thank you guys for joining us this morning.